this morning's sermon, A Treacherous Woman, A Heroic Woman, taken from 2 Kings 11, 1 to 21. This sermon, of course, might seem very offensive. How can I teach about a treacherous woman, one who killed her own children, on a day like Mother's Day? But worry not, because we see a heroic woman in the text as well. Now, when it comes to Mother's Day, I can never get the date correct, you know, even Father's Day in Australia. And after many years, I've understood that Mother's Day, the second Sunday of May, is the same everywhere else in the world. It's just that Father's Day is not the 2nd of June as it is internationally, but it is the 1st of September. I don't know why they've done that. Does anyone know why? Why one is 2nd Sunday, one is the first Sunday, but there you go. Well, it's technically not confusing, but for me it was, but I finally got it, right? But for Mother's Day, as I said, you know, I'd like to take a look at these two women to contrast them. I know it's usual to speak on Mother's Day about the qualities of motherhood and to exhort women all over, you know, to adopt these characteristics. But we need to remember that the Bible is not just prescriptive. It doesn't only tell us, this is what mothers and women and wives and whatever should be. But the Bible is also descriptive. It teaches by example. And today, as we examine these two women, we see their examples. And the temptation for a preacher and perhaps for listeners is to look at these examples and to say, well, one is set forth, and then we say, follow her example. And the other one is set forth, and you say, don't follow her example. You know, as if there's a good one and a bad one, a treacherous one and a heroic one. In one sense, one is more treacherous than the other, and one is more heroic than the other. But I suppose what we need to understand is, all of us here are sinners, aren't we? Do we have treachery in us? Are mothers here treacherous? What do you think? Oh, thank you. We have a nod by an octogenarian. It is true, isn't it? Women here are treacherous. But are women here also heroic? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So as we examine these two women, we see that there are elements present in all of us here. Right? And there are these elements which are also present in families. So today's message is about Athaliah and Jehosheba. Both were related. They were mother and daughter, or perhaps stepmother and stepdaughter, but they came from the same family. And even though they came from the same family, yet they could not be further apart. They were on opposite poles. One truly exemplified treachery. She was a treacherous woman, and the other exemplified heroism. She was heroic. Now, after Solomon died, his kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, was split into two. You have the northern kingdom, you have the southern kingdom, and in the northern kingdom of Israel, they worshipped Baal. They had abandoned the worship of God, and they started to worship Baal. But in the southern kingdom, where the temple was, they still worshipped Jehovah. They were faithful. But unfortunately, 100 years after this split, the southern kingdom also started to worship Baal. Question: how did this happen? How could a nation faithful to God, with faithful kings, where the temple was, where sacrifices were offered, how could they fall into false worship? And the reason for that is simple. It was because of an alliance. You see, the king of Israel in the north, Ahab, he had married a pagan wife. We all know her very well. Her name is Jezebel. And she was a priestess of Baal, and because of that marriage, the northern kingdom worshipped Baal. In fact, the prophets of God, they were killed Now, the king in the south, in Judah, his name was Jehoshaphat, and he worshipped God. But because both north and south, they had a common enemy, what did they do? They made an alliance. They joined hands, and they fought against that common enemy. And the way they sealed the alliance in those days was not with a handshake, not with a signing of a contract. They made an agreement, an alliance, by having a wedding. We're now friends. I give you my daughter in marriage to your son. So that's what happened. Ahab's daughter, Athaliah, she married Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram. And when Athaliah moved down south, what happened in the kingdom of Judah down south? They started worshiping idols. They started worshiping Baal. Now, because of Athaliah, because of Baal worship, what happened to the nation of Judah? Well, there was treachery. They no longer felt that they needed to worship God. They no longer felt they needed to follow His laws. So there was treachery. What is the meaning of treachery? There was deception. There was betrayal. There was disloyalty. Athaliah was a treacherous woman. She not only betrayed God, but she betrayed her family. She betrayed her family. So what was Athaliah, and what did she do? Well, the first thing that we learn is that she influenced her family to do evil. She influenced her family to do evil. She was the wife of Jehoram, who became king after his father Jehoshaphat died. But the question is, what kind of a king was he? Now, if you take a look at 2 Chronicles 21, verse 5 to 6. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 5 to 6, it tells us that Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king. He ruled in Jerusalem for 8 years. But what he did is, instead of following the examples of the kings in the southern kingdom of Judah, he followed the examples of the kings of the northern kingdom. He followed the examples of the kings of Israel, and the Bible says he was as wicked as King Ahab. Right? Jehoshaphat was his father, a godly man, but he followed his father-in-law instead. And the reason why, in verse 6, it tells us, it's because he married King Ahab's daughter. That was the reason. So Jehoram did what was evil in the Lord's sight because of Athaliah. Now, what is sad here is Jehoram was the son of a godly king. But yet, that godliness did not rub off because his wife influenced him. He married Athaliah, and she influenced him towards evil. And imagine that. You look at this passage that we have just read in 2 Chronicles 21, and his characteristic, his quality, something that he was well known for, was not that he did good, but that he did evil. And the quality that he was well known for was his infamous wife. How do you like that? Say, do you know Mike? Yeah, I know Mike, but you know what? I know his wife even more. She's a terror. Say, do you know George? Well, yeah, I could tell you something about his wife, though. I mean, what are you known for? Are you known for your infamous wife? Well, Jehoram was known for his infamous wife, and he was a very unpopular king. He ruled for 8 years, and at the end of 8 years, we're told in 2 Chronicles 21 that God struck him with an incurable sickness in his bowels. He suffered for 2 years, and at the end of it, his intestines spilled out and he died, and the people were glad of it, right? And the Bible tells us they did not build a funeral fire to honor him like they did for his fathers before. So all of these ancestors before, in the line of David, they honored. But what came to Jehoram, because of his infamous wife, they did not honor him at his death. So he was not loved. Now, after Jehoram died, her son, Ahaziah, became king. Now, who do you think became Ahaziah's counselor? And the Bible says it very clearly. Athaliah, his mother, became his counselor. She was now dowager empress. She was controlling everything from behind the scene without having to say too much. You know, as she had control over her husband, she was now controlling her son. Now, what does the Bible say about her son, Ahaziah? Let's take a look at 2 Chronicles 22, verse 2 to 3. 2 Chronicles 22, 2 to 3. Now, how old was Ahaziah when he began to reign? What does it say? Well, according to our grand old translation of the Bible, he was 42. But some of you may have a newer translation, and it says 22, right? Why the difference? Right, because, you know, some manuscripts were copied wrongly. I believe he was 42 years old when he began to reign. It says here his mother's name was Athaliah, and Ahaziah the king walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Why? Because his mother was his counselor, and she made him do wickedly. And the Bible tells us that Ahaziah killed many people. And what is sad is this. Athaliah had a husband who listened to her. And she also had a son who listened to her. Now, women of the congregation, you're probably wondering, what's wrong with that? I'd love to have a husband who listens to me, and I'd love to have a son who listens to me. But she influenced them toward evil, and they were not godly enough, not smart enough to discern what was right and wrong. And that is sad because her son was also a grown man. How old was he? 42. Well, I guess some sons just never grow up. Right, they only listen to mommy, and they're not independent thinkers. And the question is this, where did she learn this from? Where did she get this from? She learned it from her own mother, Jezebel. You remember Jezebel? You know, Jezebel was well known for influencing those around her for evil. All right? What Athaliah did, Jezebel also did. Let's take a look, if you turn your Bibles this time. 1 Kings 21, verse 25. 1 Kings 21, verse 25. Let us read this together. 1 Kings 21, verse 25, beginning. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. So why was Ahab so wicked? Jezebel. Just as much as Jezebel stirred Ahab to do evil, Athaliah stirred Jehoram as well as Ahaziah to do evil. Now, the second thing that we learn about her is that her desire to influence was actually a symptom of what she really wanted. She wanted to rule the land herself. Now, why would she steer from behind? Because what she actually wanted was to rule, right? She was not content with influence. She wanted to rule and make the decisions herself. Now, after her husband ruled for 8 years, he died. And after her son ruled for 1 year, he also died. Now, what would generally happen in that kind of system? Well, the next one in line should take over, right? So maybe Ahaziah's son or Ahaziah's brother, they should be the next king, right? But Athaliah was not content for that to happen because maybe there would be someone she could not control anymore. There would be a son or a grandson of Jehoram or not trained by Athaliah herself that, you know, this person would ascend the throne, and after that she might lose power. She would no longer have the king's ear. So what did she do? our text in verse 1 tells us that when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. She killed, in other words, all the male descendants of Jehoram, all the male descendants of Ahaziah. You know, and of course, verse 2 tells us that one boy by the name of Joash, he escaped. He was secretly rescued and he was hidden unbeknownst to her. If not, she would have gone out there to kill all of the male heirs. And in verse 3, it tells us that she reigned over the land. Aha! This is what Athaliah wanted all along. She was not content to steer from behind, but she wanted to rule, right? She wasn't just a regent anymore. She wasn't just a wife anymore. She wasn't just a dowager anymore, but she was queen herself. So in all of Judah's history and Israel's history, there was only one queen who ruled, and that is Queen Athaliah. She got what she actually wanted. And this is the treacherous thing, not only to the nation, but what kind of traitor was she to her own family? You know, these men, these children she killed were her own sons, were her own grandsons. She was even willing to kill Joash, that little one-year-old child. She wanted to get rid of him. She would sacrifice her own blood for her agenda. And this, the fact that she was able to do this, was amazing. Now, some commentators, they ask, why did she do such a thing? What was her motivation? And they suggest that her goal was to increase Baal worship across the land. And any king that was loyal to God would be a threat to her. Or any king with sympathies towards the temple and to God would be a threat to her, because as we have read, the temple was still in existence, and so were temples of Baal, but the temple of God was still there. She wanted it completely wiped out. And so, with all the potential kings from the line of David being killed, then she now, as a queen, could in her own right marry a foreign prince, marry a foreign ruler, right, who was loyal to Baal. So Athaliah was such a woman. She wanted everything to be done her way. She was willing not only to steer her husband and her son to reach her goal, and they were silly enough not to see it, but in the end, she got what she wanted. She wanted to rule herself. She was influenced by her mother. But ultimately, who was she influenced by? She was influenced by her father, the devil. All right? That's the third thing we learn about her. You know, and when we talk about father here, it's not about Ahab, who himself listened to his wife, but her father, the devil. You see, the devil has always been trying to kill off the seed of the woman. Right. Remember in Genesis 3:15, God gave a curse and said that the woman will have a descendant that will destroy sin once and for all. And so Satan has always tried to kill off the seed. You know, he got Cain to kill Abel. He tried to destroy the good line of Seth, right? Through intermarriage, so that only 8 people were left, Noah and his family. You know, in Jacob's family, he tried to kill off Joseph, who would be the savior of his people, right, of his family. And through Saul, he tried to get David killed, the chosen of God. During the time of Esther, who did Satan try to use to kill off the Jews? He used Haman. And here, he tried to get David's descendants killed. Because if David's descendants are wiped out, there will be no Jesus. There will be no Jesus. And in verse 1, it tells us, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. All the royal seed of the house of Judah. She was being used of the devil to destroy the kingdom of God. Now, of course, in her eyes, do you think that she saw it that way? No. She probably thought, I'm doing a good thing, right? I'm doing something according to my own convictions. I want the worship of Baal to increase, the idolatry. But she was not informed by the word of God, the law of God. In fact, it was contrary to the law of God. But often, what's our agenda? The ends justify the means. This was Athaliah. And we also learn a fourth thing about her. She was completely deluded. Remember, as Jacob was reading, right? One of the grandsons was rescued. He stayed in the temple for 6 years. And after 6 years, when he was 7 years old, the high priest crowned him as king. You know, there were so many people who came to the temple. There was clapping. God save the king. It was loud. Then Athaliah came, and she went to the temple. She says, what's going on? And when she saw the king being crowned, what did she cry? Treason! Treason! Was it really treason? It was not treason, because she was not the rightful authority. She was not the rightful ruler, right? She was not supposed to have ruled in the first place, but she thought that she should rule. Similarly, she knew, or really she should not also even have had influence as she did over her husband, or the kind of influence she had over her son. And now when she was being put into her right place, she cried treason. She didn't have a right place to be there in the first place. She only had an ear, which was bad enough. You know what they say? An ear to steer, or the neck to turn the head. But if she was truly godly, you know, that would have been different. The ear she had would have listened to her godly counsel, right? She as a neck would, you know, turn the head in a godly way. But in her treachery, she could not see how wrong she was, right? How deluded she was. And the Bible tells us that the high priest forced her out because she defiled the temple by her very presence. And so they killed her outside the temple. And when she did die, we're told here that the land rejoiced, right? Verse 20, let me read it to you. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet. They rejoiced when Athaliah died. And after her death, the temples of Baal were all torn down. I guess the question we have to ask ourselves here, you know, not merely directed at the women, but even at us who are men, are we not like Athaliah? You know, we want things to be done in our own way, you know, and we can often do, you know, anything to get it done. You know, mothers and fathers can easily influence their children for evil. Wives can stir their husbands towards sin, and opposite as well. So there is a lot of Athaliah in us. And the reason why is because we still have the old man in us, right? We can betray our families even by not pointing them to God, but by pointing them to the worldliness that is in the world. You know, rather than cultivate a desire for the Lord Jesus, we cultivate in them a desire for so many other things. And that is treachery. We betray our own families to the world because we do not point them to God. But secondly, the second point is, we see that despite our sins and backgrounds, it is by the mercy of the Lord that we can be delivered. And we see here the example of a heroic woman. Verse 2, it introduces her. Her name is Jehosheba. And interestingly, she's really only mentioned once, right? Only once here. And we see that she is a very unlikely hero. She rescued Joash to prevent Athaliah from killing him. But with all that we know of her, what she did was very unlikely, right? Because who was she? Who was Jehosheba? She was the daughter of Athaliah, the wicked queen. Or, if you want to stretch it a bit, she was the stepdaughter. We're not exactly sure. But she was also the sister of Ahaziah. At least, even if Athaliah was not her mother, her father was Jehoram, the wicked king. She grew up in this kind of wicked, scheming, manipulative household, perhaps, with people vying against one another. But we see here that instead of following her mother's footsteps, she followed the laws of God. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 11 tells us that Jehosheba was the wife of the high priest Jehoiada. I hope with all of these names you're not getting confused. All right, Athaliah and Jehosheba. Right? So Jehosheba was married to the high priest Jehoiada. And we see this very clearly. It says, so Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid Joash from Athaliah so that she slew him not. So, again, just to look at the family background, as the daughter of King Jehoram, she was likely the daughter of Athaliah, well, at least the sister of Ahaziah. And as much as Athaliah had influenced her father and her brother, why should she not have been influenced by her mother as well? Right? So she had everything going against her, the daughter of a wicked king, the sister of a wicked king, the stepdaughter or the daughter of a really wicked queen. But we see here that she was different. She was not wicked. And partially it could be that she was married to the high priest. We don't know. But you see, part of the deal that they had in this scheming family was, how can I, Athaliah, influence the temple as well? Well, I'm going to give my daughter in marriage to the high priest. Because as much as my father gave me in marriage to Jehoshaphat's son, and look at how much I'm influencing the nation for Baal, let me see how I can influence by marrying off my daughter to the high priest. Now, this is all sanctified imagination here. I think it's justifiable per se, all in God's providence here. But we see here that perhaps that desire was to influence the temple worship. But instead of being a powerful ally to the family of Athaliah, Jehosheba became a tremendous liability. She did not do as she was told, as she was trained, as she was called. This is why she is an unlikely hero. And secondly, this lady was brave. Athaliah was gaining power. She was known for her brutality. She had already influenced her husband for evil and controlled her son. How could anyone go against this treacherous queen? But Jehosheba did. She took the baby Joash. She smuggled him out of the palace, brought him into the temple. And she didn't only just save one life. She saved two lives. She saved the life of the nurse. Perhaps the nurse was also in on it. Perhaps the nurse was also a believer. And we don't know exactly why she decided to rescue Joash. Maybe she thought, I'm his aunt and I love my nephew. And so she rescued him because of that. We don't know. Right? Maybe as the wife of the high priest, right, she understood the gospel and understood the line of David, and perhaps that's why she rescued Joash. We don't exactly know. But what we do know is in verse 2, she managed even to convince the nurse. The nurse helped her, and while we don't exactly know, we can we can say that a very likely motive is that as the wife of the high priest, she feared God, because the worship of God was still going on. It was the last bastion of true belief. We're told in verse 2 that she hid him in a bedroom. Can you imagine the fear if you were Jehosheba? How old was Joash? He was a year old. Are year-old babies known to be quiet? Some, but not all, not most. One-year-old babies are loud and obnoxious, right? Unless you're the baby, right? But what happened is she brought the nurse and brought the baby into the temple, and this became a safe sanctuary. Not even the queen could enter into the temple grounds. And for 6 years, they kept him a secret. They probably instructed him in the ways of God, right, and not in Baal. But the thing is, in a temple with a baby, others would have known. The temple guardsmen, the priests, the servants, everyone was there. They would have known. But they were all committed to the household of David. And thirdly, we see that she acted when others didn't. How many years was Jehoram on the throne? 8. How many years was Ahaziah on the throne? 1. They didn't act in all of these years, those who feared God. Jehoiada, the high priest, in all of those years did nothing, because there was great fear. You know, who would have the guts to stand up to the king? So how many years of wickedness did they endure? The people didn't like Jehoram. They rejoiced when he died, but no one did anything. You know, when you remember King Uzziah, he wanted to enter into the temple to offer a sacrifice. The high priest at that point in time stood outside with 80 priests by his side to deny entry to the king. These were brave men. But when it came to Jehoiada, what did he do? Nothing. Can we blame him? Probably I'd be scared myself to do anything. You had such a wicked king and wicked queen. But in all of those years, Jehoiada did not confront. All right? You know, sometimes people are cowardly. It is true. And sometimes they need a courageous wife to help. Right? And that's exactly what happened. Because Jehosheba, she rescued Joash. 6 years after that, Jehoiada gathered the people. He gathered courage. He organized a rebellion. Why? Perhaps he saw the courage of his wife, who was willing to go against her father's household, her wicked mother, to do what was right. And fourthly, we see that she was used by her heavenly father, not Jehoram, but by God himself. You know, in all of this thing, we see God's goodness, how he used Jehosheba to rescue a baby. God uses whom he will use. Just as Satan is actively trying to get rid and harm God's people, God is actively trying to preserve his people. You know, when Pharaoh tried to get rid of all the male Hebrew babies, the Hebrew midwives saved them. And their names in Exodus 1 are recorded for us, Shipra and Puah. Their names forever preserved. You know, they said, oh, the Hebrew mothers give birth really fast. We can't get there in time to see whether it's a boy or girl, whether to kill the baby or not. Right? They just, right? It just comes out and, you know, they're delivered. And so because of this, God continued to bless the nation. God even used Pharaoh's daughter to rescue Moses. Who was the one who gave the order to kill all Hebrew male babies? Pharaoh. It was Pharaoh's own daughter that would rescue the Savior of Israel. It was in direct disobedience, thus giving to Israel a Savior. You know, when Sisera escaped, he came into Jael's tent. You remember Jael? She was an old lady. Her only profession was to, you know, take down tents and to put up tents. She, being a nobody, took a tent peg and killed him with it to deliver the Israelites. Rahab, in disobedience to her own people, but out of faith, diverted the soldiers away from the spies. You see, the hero I would have you see here is not so much Jehoshaphat. And the villain of this account here is not so much Athaliah. You see, in the end, it is a cosmic struggle between God and Satan and between the children of God and the children of Satan. Athaliah was being used by Satan. Jehoshaphat was being used by God. One's work would eventually fail. You know, after many, many years, you know, Satan cannot triumph over God. Right? It will eventually come to nothing. There will be years, of course, of struggle for God's people at times. But eventually, Satan will not triumph, but God will triumph. There will be times when God's kingdom seems to falter, when people go against it, people like Athaliah. You know, it may seem as if in our own families, we may struggle with sin and wrong decisions. You know, why? Because we may, as Athaliah, be moved and controlled, you know, by what is sinful. We give ourselves over to those things, and we influence our own families as well. But we have to realize that even within our families, God is seeking to redeem it. You know, God is seeking to have godly influences there. And so whether it is mothers or fathers, wives or husbands, or whether it's people in the church, you know, if we give ourselves over to that which is sinful, we are Athaliah. If we follow after Christ and run after Him, knowing His will, doing His will and not ours, we are like Jehoshaphat. But remember, this is not setting both of these up, you know, so that you can choose, because both of them are in all of us here. And we just pray that, you know, daily we would die to the old man, and daily we would live and cultivate the new man. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, move us, we pray, to know our sins, having the spirit of Athaliah in us, but to remember that Jesus saves and we are new creatures. How can we live any longer in the sins from which we have been saved? So help us, O Lord, to remember your mercy and grace upon us and spur us on to live for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.